Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Charlie, to found the organization that ultimately touched the lives of millions and millions of people and so many young people that nobody's ever seen anything like it, frankly. Turning Point USA, it's amazing, and it's actually bigger now. It's become bigger in the last few weeks than Charlie ever thought. I think his end vision in many years from now would have been just a fraction of what it turned out to be in a couple of weeks, right? It's amazing. With hard work and joyful spirit and endless enthusiasm and determination. And he did have great enthusiasm. You know, I always say you need enthusiasm to be successful. He had great enthusiasm. Charlie grew Turning Point into the largest conservative youth organization in the entire country. He forged a personal bond with countless young conservatives. He fought for free speech, religious liberty, strong borders, and a very strong and proud America. In everything he did, he put America first. He really put America first. And ultimately, Charlie became more than a leader of an important organization. He became the leader of historic movements all over the country. There were movements, individual movements, one movement, but it was historic. Everything he did was historic, and a true evangelist for the cause of freedom and the word of Almighty God. God was very important to Charlie. He would say, you know, if you don't have religion, you're not going to have a strong country. It's true. He was so wise beyond his years. You know, I talk to him sometimes and say, this guy is like a young guy. He was really a wise man. From the time Charlie worked on my presidential campaign in 2016, and he was there right from the beginning. He liked me. I don't know. I have no idea why. What the hell was he thinking? He said, you're going to win, sir. I said, you know, I'm running against 17 senators and a lot of tough people and governors. We have all these people. And he said, no, you're going to win, sir. He said, not going to be close. And he made it happen. He helped make it happen. I'll tell you that. Without him, who knows what would be. Maybe you'd have Kamala standing here today. That would not be good. I will tell you, Javier, you don't know who Kamala is. Promise. It would not be good. You agree with that, Howard? He also mobilized countless citizens to go vote. It's called Go Vote. Very simple. And with his help in 2024, we won more young people than any Republican by far in the history of our country. And we won the popular vote. We won the states, all seven of them. Remember, they said, oh, well, if Trump could win four, that would be nice. I win seven by a lot, by a landslide. But the popular vote was massive. And we won the Electoral College. Remember, they said, well, it's going to be very hard. I'd say 270. Well, we got 312 to 226. And then we won something called districts and councils and different things. But in one case, we won 2,750 to 525. That's the one where you see the map is almost entirely red, except they have a little blue line on one side and a little blue line, meaning New York and a little bit Los Angeles. I have a feeling that if the vote were 100%, we would have won that too. You want to know the truth? But he knew, and he knew very well, and he also understood honesty, and he was always concerned with honesty. He said the only way we can lose is if the cheating gets so bad, and that's where we came up with a little phrase, too big to rig. We said, go out and vote. Just go out and vote. And we had that. Remember, we used to say that all the time because people would say, oh, they're going to win. We don't have to vote. Let's go to a movie. We'll come home and watch later. And he wasn't about that. So we came up with that phrase. We got to make it too big. I never made a speech where I didn't say at the end, now look, the polls are showing good. Don't believe the polls. He said, we're going to make it, Susie, right? Too big to rig. So if you think we're going to win by a lot, doesn't matter. Pretend we're losing. You got to go out and vote. They voted. And at 9:02, the whole thing was over, right? 9:02. Remember, they said, oh, this could go a few days. Well, went a few minutes. 9:02. And he knew that. And I felt it, but he knew it. He knew it. I think he knew it more than anybody. But Charlie never missed an opportunity to remind us of the Judeo-Christian principles of our nation's founding or to share his deep Christian faith. In his final moments, Charlie testified to the greatness of America and to the glory of our Savior, with whom he now rests in heaven. And he is going to make heaven. I said, I'm not sure I can make it, but he's going to make it. He's there. He's looking down on us right now. It's so incredible. Look at this, how this turned out. This was supposed to be so dark and cloudy. Not dark and cloudy, is it? Look at that, how beautiful that is. There's no artist that can capture it as beautiful as it is today. Wow. It's amazing. As I said, on the day that he was assassinated, Charlie Kirk was a martyr for truth and for freedom. And from Socrates to think, and to St. Peter, from Abraham Lincoln to Martin Luther King, those who change history the most, and he really did, have always risked their lives for causes they were put on earth to defend. He was put on earth to do exactly what he was doing. He didn't want to waste time. He would have been a top student at any college in the country. I know the college as well. He's smarter than the guys there. He was so smart. But he almost, I guess, didn't have the time. He knew what he wanted to do. It wasn't like, gee, I want to sit in the classroom for 4 years listening to people teach me liberal principles, because they were never going to teach him that anyway. But he didn't have the time. He really didn't have the time. But every time the enemies of goodness and virtue tried to silence the voice of righteous and noble leaders like Charlie, they failed. They seem to fail. Ultimately, they look like they're doing well, and then they end up failing. Because the truth has been unrelenting over the years, over history. And people like Charlie, it's just they've got a power that others don't have and very few people will ever have. So today, like those martyrs before him, Charlie's voice, his message, and his legacy are stronger and greater than ever before. They are greater than ever before. Look, this is a horrible event, but it brought out the greatness of Charlie. Nothing could have ever supplanted this. It's incredible the way people are talking about him. And with great love. I mean, I read so many stories about some of the enemies, but I watch the enemies, and it's hard for them to speak badly about him because they just don't. And then you do have people in the days since Charlie's killing. We've seen exactly why our country so dearly needed his example. We've watched legions of far-left radicals resort to desperate acts of violence and terror because they know that their ideas and arguments are persuading no one. They know that they're failing. They have the devil's ideology, and they're failing, and they know it. They feel it, and they become violent. They seem to become very violent on the left. They've rammed vehicles into federal law enforcement, fired sniper rifles at ICE agents, and me, you know. But I made a turn at a good time. I made a turn at a good time. I turned to the right. Charlie couldn't believe it, actually. He said, how the hell did you make that turn? I said, I don't know. But fired rifles and threatened the lives of our Supreme Court justices, our great justices. They have to be protected. We just issued a lot of money, $60 million, to protect the Supreme Court justices. Very important. We can't let anything happen in places of worship. We're protecting our people. We've seen that a candidate for attorney general in Virginia boasted that he would want to see the Republican legislature, a legislator in Virginia, shot in the head and to see his children murdered. He actually said this. And now he continues to run for office, and most people continue to back him. But he said he wants his man shot. He said shot in the head and to see his children murdered. And they keep running. Pretty amazing, right? That's a bad one. Let's see how that turns out, but that's a really bad one. Nobody's heard that one before. Especially in the wake of Charlie's assassination, our country must have absolutely no tolerance for this radical left violence, extremism, and terror. We're done with the angry mobs, and we're not going to let our cities be unsafe. We're going to make sure our cities are safe. When you have Chicago, where they had 4,000 people murdered over a very short period of time, 4,000 people. And then we have a governor stand up and say, oh, things are going swimmingly. No, they're not. We're going to make Chicago safe, just like we're going to make. Look what we did in D.C. It's so nice that we started here, because this was one of the most violent places in the United States. It'd be dangerous to be right out here. But you couldn't go to a restaurant. The restaurants were all dying. The whole place was dying. You'd have these gorgeous, look at the Washington Monument over there. You'd have these gorgeous buildings and monuments and structures. And people were afraid to leave their apartment. They were afraid to go to work. They'd get into an Uber and they'd feel safe, and then the Uber would be attacked. They thought they made it to safety, and then the Uber was attacked on the trip in. But we've done a great job, and now it's considered a totally safe city. We haven't had problems. It took us 12 days to make it great. We took out, Pam, 1,700 hard criminals, career criminals in many cases, but these are hardened criminals. Many of them came in through the Biden open borders. We brought them back to the countries. And a couple were so violent that we put them in jail. We don't want to take a chance that they could get back in, because no matter how good we do, somebody can sneak in. They were so violent and so bad. One arrested 28 times. Every time he left prison, he'd get into a violent incident. 28 times. And we put him away for a long time. But we're done with the angry mobs. We're done with it. This is such an unbelievable place right now. You take a look where you can walk down the middle of the street with your wife or your husband. Your children can walk. They can walk alone. It doesn't matter. They can walk anywhere in Washington, and they're safe now. If this were a year and a half ago, a year ago, they'd have a serious chance of being badly hurt, even killed. They come in from Indiana, they come in from Iowa, they come from Florida to see their nation's capital, and somebody would have to call the parents, I'm sorry, but your son or your daughter has been killed. Not anymore. You hear those sirens going off? That's good. That's a good sound. That means they either got the bad guy or they're going to stop the bad guy. You didn't hear that sound because nobody wanted to do anything. Nobody. Listen to the beauty of that sound. Seriously. And that's the real deal sirens. They're not politically correct sirens. You hear them? They're about 3 miles away. That's great. What a beautiful sound. They're stopping crime. That's what they're doing. So we're done with the voices of fools. They're fools. And death threats. And we're going to make our cities safe. And I thought it was Charlie's, one of his biggest dreams was that he couldn't believe it. Chicago's going to be a great city again. We've already, you know, we sent people in there 6 months ago, and this governor said, well, crime is down. Yeah, that's because we had the FBI in there for 6 months, just preparing it for the bigger surge. And they've done a great job, the cash and the FBI. They've done a great job, and they love doing it, you know. They love being able to do it. They were restricted from doing it. They couldn't do anything. And now they're totally unrestricted. All they have to do is stop crime. And they're doing it. By the way, Memphis, as you know, you heard they went in about a week ago. One of the most dangerous places in the country. Really in the world. It's not just the country. They have very few cities that would compare to some of these cities. You go to Afghanistan, you say, oh, that's unsafe. Well, the crime numbers are much better than the crime numbers in places that we have. So Memphis, I understand, is doing unbelievably in 1 week. It's like a different place. And this took 12 days, and then after that, we just perfected it. But after 12 days, we had good safety here. After 1 month, it's like, it's really amazing. And by the way, restaurants are booming. Restaurants are opening up. The big problem we have, you can't get into a restaurant in D.C. anymore. So they're opening up. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's called safety. It's called law enforcement and letting them do their job. And that's why I said last month that I have directed the Attorney General and the Department of Homeland Security to confront the very real threat of left-wing terrorism in our country. It's a real threat. And not when you confront it, it's not, because they're not brave people. In fact, they're cowards. When you confront them, they immediately fold. You have to see them fold. You have to see them crying. They fold. But it includes dismantling the networks that fund them and finance them, and we're finding out who those networks are. We already know quite a few of them. When you see these violent incidents and then you see people holding this gorgeous sign with beautiful wood, beautiful cardboard, wood, everything, everything's perfect paint job, and they're all the same, there are thousands of them, you know that they weren't made in the basement out of love. They were made by anarchists. And in some cases, wealthy. I'll probably find some of my nice friends that are up there being so nice to me, especially lately. They're being very nice. But it surprises you who they may be. And you almost wonder why would they do it? But they're hurting our country, and we're really taking it back one by one. If we didn't go into Los Angeles early on in the administration, the commissioner, the chief of police, Los Angeles, said if they didn't go in, we would have lost our city. Now, they already lost 25,000 houses to fire because they wouldn't let the water come in from the Pacific Northwest, which they should have done. And I said, you better do it. They didn't do it, and we had 25,000 homes where they had no water in their sprinklers. They had no water in their fire hydrants. It would have been a different kind of a thing if they did what they were supposed to do. We had a break in. We broke in and had the water come down. They actually, they said for the environment, it's great. They lost 25,000 houses. It's incredible. But the commissioner said without the federal government and President Trump's intervention, we would have lost the entire city. And we have the Olympics going there soon. I got the Olympics. We have the Olympics. We have the World Cup. And we have, most importantly, we have the 250th anniversary of our country. That's going to be most important. And all of these things are happening. And we're going to have safe cities. We're going to have very, very safe cities. So 1 month after Charlie's death, we still feel the terrible shock and the pain of his loss like just about nobody I can think of. Charlie Kirk was one of a kind. He was unstoppable. And he really was. Boy, when he had an idea in his head, oh, he would call me, sir, please, you haven't done it yet. I said, Charlie, relax. Just relax. He didn't relax. He'd call me the next day again. It got it done. But he was like indomitable and always will be. He's really irreplaceable. Nobody can replace him. But they're going to do great. But you can't replace that kind of person and that kind of talent, frankly. The word talent is an important word, but that kind of talent. So we hold his memory in our hearts forever. Every single day of this administration, we will continue to carry out the mission for which he lived. And he really did. He lived for this country. He lived for his wife and his family. But he lived for this country, too. In Charlie's honor, we will continue like we have been to fight, 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 and to win, win, win. We're going to win so much. So the Presidential Medal of Freedom is a big deal. You have the Congressional Medal of Honor, military, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is civilian. And the Presidential Medal of Freedom is a really big deal. Very few people get it. Very few people, frankly, qualify. It's a decision of the president, but it's a qualification that's a very hard one to get. And I would like to ask, if I might, the military aide to read Charles James Kirk's citation for the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you very much. Thank you.
President Trump speaking at the White House right now, awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk. This is at the White House right now, the President speaking in the Rose Garden. honoring the life of Charlie Kirk here on Talk Radio 1210.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to Charles James Kirk. Accepting on behalf of Charlie is his wife, Mrs. Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk was one of the most influential American political figures of his generation. At just 18 years old, he founded Turning Point USA and grew it into the largest conservative youth organization in the nation. For over a decade, he tirelessly traveled the country, leading a movement to restore respect for our founding principles, reawaken our national identity, and inspire a renewed spirit of religious devotion. He was one of the great debaters and communicators of his time. Despite receiving repeated threats, he remained undeterred and modeled courage, logic, humor, and grace to the next generation. On September 10, 2025, at age 31, Charlie Kirk was assassinated while addressing a group of students. The United States honors him as a martyr for truth and freedom.
My husband in such a profound and meaningful way, and thank you for making this event a priority amid the peace process in the Middle East. Thank you. Very grateful. Charlie always admired your commitment to freedom, and that's something that both of you shared, so thank you. Your support of our family and the work that Charlie devoted his life to will be something I cherish forever, so thank you.
Thank you.
To our gracious First Lady and her office for making this event possible, thank you as well. It's beautiful. To Vice President and the lovely Usha Vance, your friendship has been an unbelievable encouragement. Thank you. And to all our friends and family that are here watching from all around the world, thank you for loving us. Thank you for praying for us and for believing in what Charlie believed in. And to our Turning Point USA staff and the Charlie Kirk Show staff, we love you more than you could ever know. And to the Turning Point USA chapters that are watching all across America right now, you are the heartbeat of this future and of this movement. Everything that Charlie built, you guys are the legacy holders of that. You are living proof that his mission did not die with him. It lives through you. And Charlie always said the next generation will decide whether freedom endures. And because of you, I know that freedom will endure. It will. And today we're gathered not only to celebrate Charlie's birthday, but to honor a truth that he gave his entire life to defend, and that's freedom. The very existence of the Presidential Medal of Freedom reminds us that the national interest of the United States has always been freedom. Our founders etched it into the preamble of our Constitution, and those words are not relics on parchment. They are a living covenant. The blessings of liberty are not man's invention. They are God's endowment. Charlie lived for those blessings, not as abstract words, but as sacred promises. He used to love to journal about this topic all the time, and with such a heart postured of gratitude. And he believed that liberty was both a right and a responsibility. And he used to say, freedom is the ability to do what is right without fear. And that's how he lived. He was free from fear. He was free from compromise, free from anything that could enslave his soul. His name, Charles, literally means free man. And that's exactly who my husband was. He was a free man. And from the time I met him, sitting across from him, being interviewed on politics and philosophy and theology, anything that Charlie loved, any topic he loved. And I just saw the fire in his soul, and there was this divine restlessness within him that came from knowing God placed him on this earth to protect something very, very sacred for all of us. And he never stopped fighting for people to experience freedom. He didn't. Charlie often said that without God, freedom becomes chaos. And he believed liberty could only survive when anchored to truth. And I remember in one of his speeches, he told the audience that the opposite of liberty isn't law. He said it's captivity. And that the freest people in the world are those whose hearts belong to Christ. But what's so powerful is that Charlie had the ability to communicate so brilliantly across all generations. And he reminded us that in a world that tells us freedom is doing whatever you want to do, the real freedom is the power to live freely and to do what is right. And in one of his journal entries, he wrote that he wanted everyone to know that you can't have liberty without moral responsibility. Freedom divorced from faith eventually just destroys itself. And what's so fascinating about all of this is looking back these past 12 years of Turning Point USA and his mission, there's almost this veil of sacredness. Because what I realize is that while he was building an organization, he was also building a movement. One that called people back to God, back to truth, and a movement that was filled with courage. And ironically, for a man who impacted millions, Charlie never desired to be the center of attention. He just wasn't. My husband was not a man of extravagance. He loved simple but deeply meaningful things, truly. He loved his late night walks. He loved buying more books than he could ever read because he felt there was no such thing as a book budget. And he loved being able to read to our kids the same bedtime story on repeat because he knew it was their favorite. But to him, that was special. And he loved to sit in the sun on a Saturday morning with his cup of decaf coffee. And his phone was off because he was honoring the Sabbath. And for him, it was that moment to catch his breath and just be in peace because he was unreachable at the moment. And he preferred quiet birthdays. But that never stopped me from telling him. I told him every single year, I said, baby, I love your birthday. I said, because it's the day that God knew the world couldn't go another day without you. And so the rhythm of our usual birthday celebration for him was mint chocolate chip ice cream. He only had it twice a year, on his birthday and 4th of July. And then after that, it was back to work as usual, but last year his one birthday wish was to see the Oregon Ducks play the Ohio State, and they won. Oregon won that night, and it was by far one of the most memorable nights of his birthday experience of his life until today. And so, honestly, President Trump, I have spent 7.5 years trying to find the perfect birthday gift for Charlie. And it's so difficult. And those of you that have spouses or loved ones, you know how difficult it is sometimes to buy a gift for someone that you love. Because he wasn't a materialistic man, so that also did not help. But now I can say with confidence, Mr. President, that you have given him the best birthday gift he could ever have. Such an honor, and the recognition of a life lived for defending freedom, and that's what Charlie fought for until his last breath. And it was written across his chest in those final moments on one of his simple t-shirts that always carried a message, and this one bearing a single word, freedom. That was the banner over his life, and that shirt was a declaration. The same declaration he made in every speech, every campus visit, every time he shared the gospel at a church, every sleepless night that he would spend praying for the youth of this nation and planning for the future of our country and just impressing upon them that when we defend liberty, we defend the soul of our nation. My husband never told anyone what to say. He never did. He never told anyone what to say. He would just encourage them to think. He would encourage them to think outside of the traditional political labels. He would want them to think in a way that was anchored in wisdom and truth. But he would never tell anyone what to say. Charlie wasn't content to simply admire freedom. He wanted to multiply it. He wanted to multiply freedom. He wanted young people to taste it and to understand it and defend it. He wanted them to see that liberty isn't self-indulgence, it's self-governance under God. He wanted them to see that. And every day I'd see him getting ready for work. He'd put on his cross necklace, he'd put his ring on his finger. And the boldness in his demeanor was always fearlessness. He wasn't afraid. He was never afraid. And his daily actions, whether in office or on campus or at a church, it was always without fear. That was his creed. That is how he lived out every single day. He didn't fear being slandered. He did not. He didn't fear losing friends. I can tell you that. He didn't care. He stood for truth and stood for freedom, and he did not. Everything else was just noise to him. And it's because his confidence in Christ was absolute. That's why. There was no limit to what he would have sacrificed to defend freedom for all. And if the moment had come, he probably would have run for president, but not out of ambition. He would only have done it if that was something that he believed that his country needed from a servant's heart standpoint. And Charlie lived only 31 short years. I was 32, but on this side of heaven, but he lived every single second. He filled every single day with purpose, and he fought for truth when it was unpopular, and he stood for God when it was costly. But that's what we're called to do. Surprisingly enough, he did pray for his enemies, which is very hard, but he did. He did. No one else, I mean, I saw him do it. No, he never did it in front of anyone else, but I can attest to that. But he also loved people when it was inconvenient. And he ran his race with endurance, and he kept the faith. And now he wears the crown of a righteous martyr. And for me and for our children, the truth really steadies our grief, because heaven gained what earth could no longer contain. A free man made fully free. all watching, this is not a ceremony. This is a commissioning. And my message is simple. I want you to be the embodiment of this medal. I do. I want you to free yourself from fear. I want you to stand courageously in the truth. Listen for the still, small voice of God. And remember that while freedom is inherited in this country, each of us must be intentional stewards every single day. God began a mighty work through my husband, and I intend to see it through. And the torch is in our hands now. It's in mine. It's in yours. It's in all of yours. It's in all the students with Turning Point USA. And before I close, I'll share with you that I asked our daughter what she would like to say to Daddy for his birthday. She said, "Happy birthday, Daddy. I want to give you a stuffed animal. I want you to eat a cupcake with ice cream. And I want you to go have a birthday surprise. I love you," is what she said. And while our son is precious, he can't yet speak. In classic Kirk family fashion, his actions spoke louder than his words. And his gift to you, Charlie, and myself for that matter, was deciding to become the man of the house and be fully potty trained at 16 months. But Charlie, baby, I know that you're celebrating in heaven today, but gosh, I miss you. We miss you. And we love you, and we promise we'll make you proud. And Charlie's life was proof that freedom is not a theory, it's a testimony. He showed us that liberty begins not in the halls of power, but in the man of a heart surrendered to God. And so today, as we honor Charlie with this incredible Presidential Medal of Freedom on his birthday, I stand here with tears and just a humbled heart and spirit, because his story reminds us all that to live free is the greatest gift, but to die free is the greatest victory. Happy birthday, my Charlie. Happy Freedom Day.
Charlie Kirk, the Medal of Freedom, live at the White House right now. We're going to take a quick break as we continue here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Very somber ceremony, obviously, but this is an important day, and this is an hour brought to you by our friends over at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live on October 31st, just a couple weeks from now, 2 weeks from Friday. So join us for that. Mark your calendar and come out and be with us in person together as we do that and make your October reservations for getaway now at the Grand Hotel, midweek stays and weekend visits as well. As we continue along here. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. We are live here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Obviously, a very incredibly moving ceremony at the White House. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. For 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been giving people beautiful smiles, and other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike Venaria. He is the experts that the experts send. So make sure you go see Dr. Mike Venaria today, VenariaDental.com. In the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to our buddy Bill D'Agostino from the Media Research Center. We'll have a chat with him about all the goings-on, but obviously incredibly moving ceremony for Charlie. And Erica spoke beautifully. You can only imagine how difficult that must be for her, no doubt about that. And, you know, he joked about not getting into heaven. The president joked about that. But that refers to something he said to Peter Ducey in cut number 17. He said this to Peter Ducey the other day on Air Force One as they were heading to Israel to negotiate the release of the hostages by Hamas and the peace deal with Israel. And the president made this joke to Peter Ducey, cut 17.
You had talked a couple weeks ago, you were doing an interview, and you talked about how you hope to end the war in Ukraine because it might help you get into heaven. How does this help? Does this help?
I mean, you know, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven, okay? I really don't. I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly in Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven. But I've made life a lot better for a lot of people. And, you know, as an example,
had
the election of 2020 not been rigged, you would have millions of people living just in Russia, Ukraine alone.
Now, I imagine that the president will probably have to rethink that. But obviously, I'm no expert on who gets into heaven and who doesn't. But certainly that peace deal, no doubt about that, go a long way towards helping. We talked a lot earlier in the show today about the peace deal, and you know, many of the hostages being reunited with their families has been a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. Really is a beautiful thing to watch, and it's the kind of thing that gets you very excited to see, and very excited to see that you know that there's progress towards at least what hopefully will be a lasting peace. The fact that you don't have a lot of Democrats giving the president credit on that, well, I mean, are you surprised? I'm not. I don't think any of us should be surprised by that.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I have a little technical difficulty there, but that's okay. We're back. So the president was saying to Argentina's president, Javier Milei, at the White House today and talking about Hamas and how Hamas, they better disarm. And if they don't disarm, we're going to have a major, major problem here. So here's cut number 8 from today at the White House. Take a listen.
They're going to disarm and because they said they were going to disarm. And if they don't disarm, we will disarm them.
How will you do that?
I don't have to explain that to you. But if they don't disarm, we will disarm them. They know I'm not playing games.
okay? Now, we did something monumental. We got the hostages back. That was the first thing we had to do, above all else, get the hostages back. Now, they misrepresented because we were told they had 26, 24 of dead hostages, if we can use those terms. And it seems as though they don't have that because we're talking about a much lesser number. But that's a very tough subject. I want them back. That's what they said. I want them back. Also, they said they were going to disarm. And initially speaking, they needed, you know, they did take out a couple of gangs that were very bad, very, very bad gangs. And they did take them out and they killed a number of gang members. And that didn't bother me much, to be honest with you. That's okay. It's a couple of very bad gangs. You know, it's no different than other countries. Like Venezuela sent their gangs into us, and we took care of those gangs. We have Washington, D.C. is one of the safest cities in the country. It was one of the worst cities in the country. If you go back just a little while ago, right? Now it's safe. You can walk to work. Isn't it nice? But we have told them we want disarm, and they will disarm. And if they don't disarm, we will disarm them. And it'll happen quickly and perhaps violently. But they will disarm. Do you understand me?
Yes. You say
because
quickly.
You always, everyone says, oh, well, they won't disarm. They will disarm. And I spoke to Hamas. And I said, you're going to disarm, right? Yes, sir, we're going to disarm. That's what they told me. They will disarm or we will disarm them. Got it?
They will disarm or we will disarm them. That's the way it's going to be. They will disarm or we will disarm them. So, good. That's important. That's what has to be. And one of the former hostages said that Hamas, and this is cube cut number 10 here, said Hamas was very scared of Trump winning. So this is a former hostage named Omer Shem Tov. Cut number 10.
Yes, it seemed he got me out. He got the hostages out. Before, we felt like nothing is happening, you know. And I remember there, for me there, ever since he came into the road, they were very scared of him. Yeah, they wanted...
Who?
The terrorists.
Were afraid of Trump.
Yeah, they wanted Kamala to be chosen, to be elected.
You talked politics with them?
Yeah. They wanted Kamala to be elected. But as soon as Donald Trump was elected, they understood that he wants to bring the hostages back home. Yeah. So immediately the way they treated me changed. So if it's the amount of food, I could say this, that when Trump became president, yeah, the way they treated us changed for me personally. This is what I think felt.
Because they anticipated that a deal would come soon.
Yeah.
And that's when they started giving you more food.
Exactly. More food, treated me better, you know, stopped cursing me, stopped spitting on me.
You see, and they knew that. They knew. And that, look, that's a key. That's obviously a very, very key point to this, is that they know he's not going to mess around. Look, we talk about peace through strength. They know that he's not going to mess around. The media, though, is back to bashing him and also suggesting that this is no big deal. In fact, Christiane Amanpour from CNN probably takes the cake with this. I mean, of everything, this probably takes the cake. As she goes on to say that the hostages were treated better than the Gazans. She now regrets saying that, I'm sure because she probably wants to keep her job. I mean, how anybody can suggest that Hamas took better care of the hostages. It's mind blowing. Actually, these are, I mean, well, anyway, this is her apology. Cut number 11.
Now, earlier live on air, I spoke about what a day of real joy this is for Israeli families whose loved ones are finally being returned from 2 years of horrific Hamas captivity, and for civilians in Gaza who finally had a reprieve from 2 years of brutal and deadly war. I noted that for the hostages who are finally home, it'll take a long time for them to recover mentally and physically. But I regret also saying that they might have been treated better than many Gazans because Hamas used these hostages as pawns and bargaining chips. But that was insensitive and it was wrong. From speaking to many former hostages and their families, like everyone, I've been horrified at what Hamas has subjected them to over 2 long years. They've told me, as you've just heard, their stories of barely being able to breathe in the tunnels, not being allowed to cry, being starved and made to dig their own graves. And of course, today, some of the hostages are coming back in body bags.
Yeah, well, thanks, Christiana Mapour. Thank you for acknowledging how insensitive your comments were, because they were beyond ridiculous, is really what they were, beyond ridiculous. But there's a lot of them. I got to give Bill Maher credit, though. He was speaking with William H. Macy on his Club Random podcast, and he's giving Trump credit for this. I mean, everybody should. Look, do we want peace or not? And if we do want peace in the world, then we should give credit where it's due, because then it'll inspire other people to try to make peace. And that's a good thing, is it not? I mean, last time I checked, peace is a good thing. But I guess these people just hate Trump so much that the idea of even giving him credit for that is just something that they just can't do. So here's Bill Maher. Credit to him for giving Trump credit that he deserves over this. This is a big deal. Cut 12.
I always say this, you cannot ever deny success. You yeah. just have to give your respect, even if it's not your thing. Have the humility to give it up for enormous success on any level.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Trump, not my choice, didn't vote for him, but
a lot of people did.
And he's... I can't deny the success.
I can't either.
Yeah.
And he's the president.
And he's the president,
exactly right. And you can't, and you know, good for William H. Macy for saying you can't deny the success either. Because the success is real. It's real, and it's a big deal. This whole thing with Israel, this whole thing with the hostages, this whole thing of an idea of a lasting peace, all of these things, it's huge. And we should appreciate it as such. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got a big fourth and final hour still to come. Our buddy Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center will join us. Let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over there. So they're going to start remodeling the kids' bathroom in our new house. They did such a phenomenal job remodeling the bathroom in our old house and the kitchen, too, that I said, you know what? This bathroom is so out of date, built in the 1980s when the house was built. It's time for a renovation. So they sent their design team over. They took a great look at it, came back with a wonderful plan, and we signed the dotted line, and we're going forward with it. Emmons is my go-to contractor, and they should be your go-to contractor, too. Now, roofing, siding, windows, doors, and yes, kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Emmons is your one-stop shop. Emmons is the absolute best, and I trust them completely. Each and every one of my listeners, you will get 10% off discount from my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. And they serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And I'm so excited to share with you the progress we make on the bathroom renovations. We'll put some pictures up, and it'll be great. Now, if you do need a new roof, you will have the Owens Corning Shingle, made in America roofing products, installed by the absolute best company out there, Platinum Certified, Owens Corning, Platinum Certified, and that's Emmons. My friend Matt Kelly, his whole team over there, they are ready to serve you and help your home. Your home will not only look better from the curb, but you will have the protection and peace of mind that goes with it. And now that we're getting into some colder months, you got to think about that roof. Now, they'll never tell you you need a new roof unless you absolutely do. But if you do, you'll get that Owens Corning Platinum Certified contractor working on the project. And that means a lifetime warranty that is transferable to the next owner. So whether it is kitchen and bathroom remodeling, whether it is a new roof, whether it is windows, doors, siding, you name it, Emmons is my go-to contractor, and they should be your go-to contractor as well. 10% off for each and every one of my listeners, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.